Welcome to Missing the Mark, where we look for meaning in strange places. I'm Christopher.
Today I'd like to consider the question, what is evidence? It's a thing that's talked about a lot, and people are often not very specific. It means more than one thing. And I'd like to contrast a few things that evidence means, what counts as evidence, and under what circumstances, and so on. So first, I'd like to start with the Oxford English Dictionary definition of evidence, because it kind of shows the variety of meanings. So 1A, the quality or condition of being evident, clearness, evidentness. 1B, in evidence, after the French en évidence, actually present, prominent, conspicuous. Definition 2, manifestation or display. 2.2, that which manifests or makes evident. 3, an appearance from which inferences may be drawn, an indication, mark, sign, token, trace. 3b, in religious language, signs or tokens of personal salvation. Definition 4, example or instance. Definition 5, a, ground for belief, testimony, or facts tending to prove or disprove any conclusion. 5b, an evidence, something that serves as a proof. And that one's obsolete. You will actually see that occasionally, like show me your evidences or something like that. If you read older literature, I mean. Okay, so the point of all this is that evidence means many things. People use the word to mean many related ideas. Now, this is perfectly fine. The thing is, it's good to be clear on what we mean when we use the word. And because, you know, everybody uses the word differently, or because the word is used to mean several different things, it's important to be clear when you are using it, what you mean. So first, I'd like to consider empirical evidence. And once again, I'll go to the dictionary, but I'm not going to repeat the dictionary a lot more than this. The Oxford dictionaries define empirical evidence as based on, concerned with, or verifiable by observation or experience rather than theory or pure logic. That last part especially has to do with Kant and some ideas, the idea of rationalism, the things that are known, Kant would call them a priori and so on. It's not something people argue about very much these days, that idea, rationalism in the sense of like the things you can know without any sense experience of any kind whatsoever. If you were just a free-floating intellect, the things that you could know. Anyhow, Wikipedia, by contrast, describes empirical evidence in its entry on the same as empirical evidence, also known as sense experience, is the knowledge or source of knowledge acquired by means of the senses, particularly by observation and experimentation. Okay, so, and it's that second part especially I want to draw your attention to, the being rooted in the senses. That's also, by the way, where the idea of empiricism contrasted with rationalism comes from, that knowledge comes through the senses. There are other ways besides just rationalism and empiricism, by the way. Those are just two things that came about roughly in the time of, you know, modern philosophy, that with a capital M, for those of you who haven't actually taken college-level philosophy courses or done equivalent reading. Anyway, here's the thing about empirical evidence. If you construe this narrowly, where you exclude arguments on empirical evidence, then there are very few things we know by empirical evidence. Basically, only the things we are actually seeing. So, like, that swan is white. You would know because you can actually see that swan, assuming it's a European one. That would be empirical evidence with no argumentation permitted. To see something in the other category, consider determining the charge of an electron. If you perform the Millikan oil drop experiment, or more generally, the oil drop experiment. For those who don't know, Millikan came up with a very accurate, well, relatively first time, much more accurate than anybody else before him, measurement of the charge of an electron. And the way he did it was with an oil drop experiment, where he had an apparatus that had two electrical plates that created a uniform electrical field between them. And then he would spray oil droplets into this field. And then, simplifying a bit, that you'd pick out one that was charged and then suspend it between the plates. And then by moving it around, you could calculate, based on it, when it hits terminal velocity, calculate its, if you do this very, very accurately, You could calculate its mass, and then by knowing the force that you're applying on the electrical fields, you can calculate the charge of the entire oil droplet. And oil, this actually had been done with water, but the problem is water evaporates too quickly. Oil, particularly oils Millikan used, were very stable and so tended to be consistent when you got your measurements, which allowed much greater accuracy. Anyhow, then if you do this many, 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 many times, you'll come up with the charges of many, many, many oil drops. And then you'll find that they are all multiples of something or other. That something or other is the charge of an electron. So you can see you are not directly observing the charge of an electron. You're not smelling it, you're not tasting it, you're not looking at it. You are constructing an experiment, you are doing observational things for which you are gathering sense data, and then you are making rational inferences from them. With quite a bunch of work, by the way, because the way you figure out the mass of that oil droplet itself requires a lot of argumentation that the about how you measure its, you know, velocity and so on. So the point being, if you count, if you're permitting rational argument to be part of empirical evidence, then there's a much wider net for the things that you have empirical evidence for. If you're excluding argumentation, then there are very, very few things, and most of science does not count, at least most of physics, doesn't count in having empirical evidence, because most of physics requires some amount of argumentation that your experiment actually proves some result. At the very least, it requires calculations. Calculations are a form of argumentation, essentially. The way I'm using the term at the moment. In any event, it requires rational inference to use calculations in order to know something. Okay, so that's empirical evidence. I'd also like to consider testimony, human testimony. Now, I just want to give a thought experiment as to whether or not testimony is evidence. Consider that a police detective was sent to a scene of a death. And there's a man who fell down a cliff and his body was terribly battered on the way down and then landed down at the bottom of, you know, pulverized mess. The man's very dead. And then there's a crowd up at the top of the cliff. And, you know, consisting of 30 people. And all 30 people said, this man here, Jim Jones, pushed Frank off the cliff to his death. And then, you know, the detective talks to that man, Frank. And he said, yes, they're right. I hated him. I saw my opportunity. I just got so angry. I shoved him off the cliff, wanting to murder him. Now, given the setup, would the detective conclude, and the fact that you can't tell anything from the body, there are clearly no fingerprints on the body, Jim Jones was wearing gloves, there are no bruises or anything because the body was so mangled in its fall, it's impossible to disambiguate any characteristic bruising or anything like that from the person having been shoved. It's a rocky cliff, so you can't tell whether or not there was any slippage and so on. Now, would the detective in this case say, oh, this is terrible, there's no evidence at all as to what happened? And I'm just going to leave you with that thought experiment. Now, a final thing I'd like to say about evidence is that evidence must always be interpreted. I'm leaving off slightly. There are very simplistic things where the interpretation is trivial. Like, you look at a white swan and conclude that it's white. And there's that interpretation is extremely easy to do. Now, if you want to be really, really technical about it, I'm actually to some degree referencing a joke maybe a few people might be aware of. The mathematician might say, actually, one, you know, half of that swan is white. But if you don't get the joke, I apologize. It's not worth the setup to tell the full thing. Anyhow, so I want to give you an example of where, you know, of how evidence must always be interpreted. So just sometimes the interpretation's easy. Consider a stabbing. Again, a detective comes to a stabbing. There's a corpse. There's a knife in the corpse. There's a fingerprint on the knife of somebody. Now, what does that fingerprint on that knife mean? What is this evidence of? Is this evidence that the person stabbed the victim? Is this evidence that the person held the knife at some point? Is this evidence that possibly your forensics man is actually framing the guy whose fingerprint it was? Any of these are possible circumstances that could have led to that fingerprint being there. That fingerprint on its own doesn't tell you what it means. You need to interpret it, generally in light of something else. Build up a rational case for what this fingerprint, which is evidence, is in fact telling you. So, as it goes there, it goes with most evidence. As I said, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, the things that you can directly see, smell, etc., tend, by and large, to require very little in the way of interpretation. The further removed from that you get, the more interpretation you often need. But in any event, evidence must be interpreted. It doesn't interpret itself, as you can see. And this, by the way, is why we have a genre of fiction called detective fiction. It's one of the most popular genres on television. You know, somebody put it, like you can tell, reading a screenwriter's blog, I saw screenwriters complaining, especially a few years ago, about how you could write you can write your TV show about anything you want so long as the main character solves murders. There are tons and tons of them, police shows, police procedurals, and so on, but that sort of detective element is common to all of them. And the whole reason this genre can exist is because evidence does not interpret itself. You can see that, you know, the classic thing, the detective spots the same evidence as everybody else, but the detective knows what that evidence means, whereas everybody else misses it. May not even realize that it's evidence because they don't realize the significance of it. And that whole thing is possible precisely because the evidence does not interpret itself to everybody. The people have to interpret it in light of what they know and what they can, you know, reason from. So it's the thing to, or a big thing to understand about evidence is that how you understand evidence is itself an incredibly important part of what evidence means. So anyway, just wanted to talk about this generally, hope you enjoyed it or found it helpful. And until next time, may you hit everything you aim at.